Infrastructure, one of the many things we expect to hear about in the State of the Union tonight. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. President Trump will give his first State of the Union speech this evening. The president has lots of big ideas when it comes to revamping the nation's infrastructure, and we'll probably hear about them. But it's not clear exactly how he'll pay for them. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
President Trump's infrastructure advisor, DJ Gribben, says the federal government will spend at least $200 billion on infrastructure projects, but he hasn't suggested any new sources of money to pay for them, although Gribben says the White House wouldn't stand in the way of an increase in the federal gas tax.
We don't support it, but we don't oppose it either, because we want to be neutral and keep options on the table.
That means Congress would have to take the initiative and vote to hike the gas tax, a heavy political lift, according to Tracy Gordon of the Urban Institute.
It's not easy to ask people to pony up more money, and yet that's what's missing from all of these proposals.
The administration has hinted it might shift some transportation funding toward infrastructure. Robert Puentes heads the Eno Center for Transportation.
They've talked about public transit and maybe cuts to Amtrak.
The White House hasn't formally released its infrastructure plan. That's expected in a week or two. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.4% range. Dow future down a little more, 161 points down. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.7%. And here is another number to consider, one that President Trump may mention in his State of the Union speech. The unemployment rate among African Americans. It's fallen to its lowest level since the government started tracking it in 1972. It's at 6.8%. That is obviously a significant milestone in the economic recovery, but 6.8% unemployment is still almost twice the rate for white workers. And in distressed neighborhoods and segregated cities like Baltimore, the real jobless rate is often much higher. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Adrian Henderson was out buying shoes for his daughter when he spotted a white RV in the mall parking lot. It was marked Mobile Job Center.
So I got out and checked it out.
It's run by the public library. Picture a bookmobile for jobs. Inside, there's a bank of computers for printing resumes and applying for openings online. Henderson is 49. He lost his job in December and is looking for work in security.
The market, I mean, is certainly there, but sometimes it's who you know. So it's just been tough for me right about now.
Henderson is among the nearly 7% of African Americans unemployed. That's a record low, says Diedrick Asante Muhammad with the advocacy group Prosperity Now.
But if the country as a whole was at a 6.8% unemployment rate, we'd be talking about a recession.
Unemployment among white workers is just 3.7%. Valerie Wilson directs the program on race, ethnicity, and the economy at the Economic Policy Institute. She says the numbers reflect a legacy of racial inequality. Research has shown persistent discrimination in hiring and firing.
Even when we look at people with the same levels of education, for example, we typically find that the black unemployment rate is really close to, if not higher than double, the white unemployment rate.
Wilson also says when a lot of people you know aren't working,
then your network has a lot of holes in it. And it's more difficult to get connected to job opportunities.
Joseph Jones is executive director of the Center for Urban Families in Baltimore. He says there's another common barrier for people growing up in poverty.
When we think about minority males who've had some exposure to the criminal justice system, there's just certain segments of the labor market that they're not going to qualify for.
Baltimore's Mobile Job Center travels to distressed neighborhoods. About 1,000 people per month stop by. Adrian Henderson pulls up a long resume on his phone and shows it to staffer Randy Chambers.
So you got like at least 17 to 18 years of experience.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're good to go.
In a sign of the stronger market, Chambers prints out a stack of possible options.
Here's another one. This is a day shift. This is all Randallstown.
With his experience, Henderson shouldn't be out of work for long. The median duration of unemployment is down to 9 weeks overall. But for black workers, it's more than 13. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
How annoyed are you when you order something online and it doesn't show up on time? Well, Walmart is also annoyed. apparently. At its annual supplier conference this week, Walmart execs plan to let its biggest suppliers know that they need to get their goods to Walmart on time 85% of the time or pay a fine. Smaller suppliers need to be on time 50% of the time. Oh, that we could impose fines on late orders. Walmart stock is up 0.4% in after-hours trading. Overnight, the Treasury Department published a list of Russian business leaders and senior officials with close links to President Putin. The list doesn't come with any new sanctions. It's just a list. Congress passed a law requiring the administration to come up with it after allegations that Moscow meddled in the U.S. election. Adam Robinson from our partners at the BBC has more.
Russian media have for weeks now been anticipating the U.S. Treasury list of leading Russians who could face new sanctions. Many in the Russian business world were reported to be nervous about possibly being included, while media reports suggested the government was bracing for a blow to Russia's economy. Now it's been published. It names 114 Russian politicians and 96 top businessmen, some close to President Vladimir Putin. But Russia's government-controlled TV channels are highlighting the fact that no new sanctions have been imposed, at least yet. Officials have also been going on air to suggest the list is poorly researched, with one accusing the U.S. Treasury of simply copying the Kremlin's phone book.
The Treasury Department said the list was based on objective criteria drawn from publicly available sources. And Volkswagen's CEO is apologizing for funding tests of diesel fumes on monkeys, as reported by the New York Times last week, calling the tests repulsive and unethical. BMW and Daimler also funded the group that conducted the tests, and both companies have denounced those tests as well. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.